Coming up on TMS, funerals and Fortnite.
The beers were near at Beerfest, my dear.
Scrabble went weird this year.
Wow, it's a whole Dr. Seussian intro. That bus driver's kind of cool.
Oh, we broke the rhyming. All right. Trade my liver for your burgers.
Tesla trucks sound crazy.
Robot or not. And Trek Nerd. And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hot stuff. Wow. She is glitter wild. Glitter hair, body comb, and glitter gel. Streak or spike.
Descend, swallow the weak.
Those bastards are turning back. This is the morning stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the TMS show. That stands for The Morning Stream. It is Monday, September 24th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson. That guy right there is Brian Ibbett. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. It's a weird week.
It is a weird week.
For a lot of people. It's a big week in national politics. It's a big week for me because I'm going to Ohio this weekend. Looking forward to seeing a bunch of y'all there. And speaking there at the thing at the GDEX, thegdex.com for details.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Yeah, it should be good. In fact, today there's a live stream I'm part of that's sort of like an introductory to who's speaking. I think I'm on there with somebody else, but sometime after TMS, I'll let you guys know via Twitter when you can watch that. But anyway, that's all going on. So I'm in this mad dash to get as much stuff caught up as humanly possible. You know, it's funny, this Kickstarter that happened with the playing cards, all as well. Yeah. Like, proofs have been approved. The printing is happening. Like, it's happening. Like, we're almost ready to ship these things. But I had completely forgotten that there were people at the high-end tiers of contribution that get a bunch of art I hadn't done yet. And it was okay because Dave was like, well, no, we'll do that. That comes later anyway. You're not doing that at the same time because we're not printing at the same time.
Right.
So I just kind of had forgotten about it. This week, I'm making a bunch of bonus jokers. Woo!
It's bonus Joker week. Bonus.
It is.
And a bonus.
It should be fine. But it's keeping me super busy. So anyway, that's my week. Brian, I know you've had all sorts of busyness going on.
I have. It's been a fun weekend. Lots of stuff going on. So, I mean, Tina's out of town, so I took that opportunity to play a little WoW last night and do some remodeling of the basement. I'm 3D printing shelf brackets to hold 1x2 beams of wood to mount my filament in this new makerspace that I've got.
Is that so structurally? Does it have structural integrity? These prints you're making?
It does. Yes. As a matter of fact, tomorrow when we have Bill on, hopefully we have Bill.
We should.
I'll be able to show him one of the brackets because he actually is responsible for their sturdiness. He worked with Joel, the 3D printer nerd.
One
of my favorite YouTube channels. Mm-hmm. This guy's great.
Yeah.
And Bill went to his shop and helped him figure out the structural integrity of these shelf brackets and helped him make changes to make them more stable.
I just want to make a technical guess here and you can tell me if I'm wrong. Is it how the filament is laid down in a certain pattern to create sort of like crisscross structural strength, or is it something else? Yeah. This is good, you guys. This is good. All you makers, listen up. We're talking technical filament business here. All right, what do you got?
So this is the bracket.
Okay.
And originally there wasn't this kind of W here in the middle. I think there was just one line across. So basically you had and one beam of wood goes here, one beam of wood goes here, and basically you've just got a couple of tracks and all the filament rolls just lay in the curve of that track.
Makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So
that little backwards end in the middle is probably the whole, well, it's backwards to me, but yeah, there we go. The regular end is the part that, so I played this game called Bridge Constructor, and in that video game, you're always trying to make sure you get an N in the middle somewhere.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So I mean, this mounts to the wall. You've got three screws that hold it up. Yeah. So basically that's what Bill did with Joel is he mounted this to a board, and then they had like a a strength, a tenacity tester or tension tester, something like that, where they could pull down and it would show you how many pounds of force you have pulling down on this thing. And they hooked it here. The problem is that they should have had a double hook here, like something
basically
connecting to those, because the weight is supported by those two.
Right.
But when they had it here, it just basically on the old one just went and just bent it like, straight down.
Well, that's awesome. I always wonder if the 3D printing world is ready for when we have severe increase in overall world temperatures. And to the point that, let's say, everywhere is like Phoenix. And if that ever happened, would everybody's cool printed stuff just soften up and be a little mushy and,
It might, yeah, exactly. I don't think they're going to be 3D printing any houses in Phoenix or Mesa anytime soon.
Oh, my gosh, can you imagine? Worst business idea ever down there. Don't do that.
And there's, there's different materials. So, like, PLA is probably going to be a little bit more, it'll warp a little bit more or shrink even. Mm-hmm. ABS is a lot more solid, a lot stronger, that sort of thing.
Well, all right. I like this. I like that you have a room dedicated to it. Whenever you do this stuff, I feel like I don't know what to do with any. I don't know how to do anything.
Well, it's finally, it's finally going to give me a chance because I really haven't had a place to work on Thanos here.
Oh, Space Ogre. Standard, Space Ogre. Got it.
Space Ogre. I'm sorry. Yeah. Space Ogre.
Uh-huh.
To get him sanded. I have to still paint him outside. I don't have anything set up in there for where I can, spray paint and have the paint go up like a vent or anything. But at least being able to work on him and doing the old rub and buff.
Yeah, the old rub and buff.
The old rub and buff, baby.
Uh-huh. I'm familiar. All right, so I got a fun little thing to tell you. First of all, I'm a little concerned about something that happened this morning. I just want to briefly mention it to see what you would do.
Okay.
Walking the dog, there are big industrial sprinklers going next to the school. One of them is tilted a bit, so as it does it gets a little close to the fence, closer than it should, and it sends kind of a misty spray across the walk there while you're walking.
Sure.
I was walking the dog, and I forgot, we use what do they call it? Not groundwater. But for like big areas like that, they don't use the same water you'd use out of your tap. They use secondary water, whatever it is.
Potable. They use potable water. They use
whatever it is. There's a name for it.
Not gray water, but I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean.
Not reclaimed.
It's not the stuff you're gonna drink. But is it gray water? They're saying gray water.
Is it gray water?
Irrigation.
Okay. No, gray water is what you clear out of your camper. That's not filled with turds, but it's filled with you washing your hands and
the dishwash stuff and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Non-potable, secondary.
Non-potable.
Secondary
okay,
water.
So just non-potable. All right.
Yeah, and my wife called it secondary water. That's it. All right, anyway. So it's out there doing its thing. Mm-hmm. And I've mentioned this before that I think they get it from the lake runoff because we have a lake here, and every once in a while it fills, gets a little high from rain or whatever, so they'll open up this little thing, and it creates this almost like artificial river and just kind of travels around. And I'm pretty sure they're using that to do the watering. Sometimes, because I think it comes from that source, it's a little stinky. It smells a little skunky.
Lake smell, lake water smell.
Yeah, like a little, like a egg fart kind of smell to it.
Okay.
And I'm walking past it, and this is the week where I'm washing my hands a lot. I'm going to a thing. I don't want to be sick of the thing, right? So I'm just wash my hands a lot. Oh, that kid looks sick. Not going near him. Hey, if we're preparing that chicken, let's be careful. I'm just being smart before I go on a trip to a thing where I have to stand up and talk to people. I don't want to be sick there. I don't want to have some chest thing. I don't want to have some butt thing. I just want to go and have a good time. So this is so misted, this water in the air, that I know I breathed some of this in walking past there.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you is,
uh-huh,
should I just put that out of my mind and not think about it anymore?
All right, well, let me ask you this. What are you going to do about it?
There's nothing I can do.
There you go. So that pretty much should just give you your answer. It's like, is that bad? Well, what can I do about it if it is? Let's move on with my day. And, that's all you can do.
All right. And I knew you'd have good advice. That's exactly what I should do. I got to stop thinking about it because I could taste it. It was like, oh, my gosh, it's like freaking duck and goose poo or something in this.
Yeah, no, that's the that's kind of the first question I ask myself when anything comes up where there's like a decision or a quandary or a conundrum that must be resolved. It's, can I do anything about it? No? All right, well then it just goes.
I admire that because what I do is I go, can I do anything about it? And then my brain says no, and I go, but I want to do something about it.
I can't do anything about it.
I want to do something about it. Somebody help me do something. All right, well, whatever.
Well, there's that. Yeah, sure.
It's fine. Hey, so I went to this funeral. My 97-year-old uncle, which is why, no, we didn't have... Oh, no, we did have a PM on Friday. What am I thinking of?
We had a PM, but we just didn't have a film sack.
That's what we missed, yeah. Film sack. No film sack because of this funeral. Sack. Saturday morning, went in there. It was all fine. Saw a lot of cousins I haven't seen in like 20 years. It's weird.
Wow.
By the way, I don't want to be rude.
Oh, no.
My mom's there and all of her offspring, okay? All of us kids plus the adopted kids, the Korean kids and stuff are there. And then everyone else from all the other sides of the family that we haven't seen in a very long time, they're off my dad's side. We hold up the best. And I don't mean that in a rude way or a cocky way, but if you looked at us all in a mirror, took a big giant family photo, you'd have been like, oh, man, there is some... And they're younger than me. Like, a lot of these guys just look... They looked rough, dude. Like, they had been through some stuff.
Hard living kind
of
thing.
Yeah, and they have been. There's been a couple of them I'm aware of, but I don't know all the stories. But we looked like shining rocks on the hill in there, man. It was great. Anyway, so we went to this funeral. We weren't there long enough to eat a penny in the chat, so I don't know if there are funeral potatoes. Probably.
probably hot dish.
Yeah, a hot dish was probably there. So we were there, and there's like three or four eulogies in this church, and one of them was my cousin, who's a couple years older than me. Her name is Jan. She lives at... Just kidding. So she says... I don't know, I'm giving all this information. It doesn't really matter. But she was talking about how her dad, my Uncle Marsden, who I found out for the first time ever, whose first name was Gerald, his middle name was Marsden, but he kept the Marsden his whole life as his name. Mm. I didn't know that. So he would have
because he liked the sound of that better.
Yeah, I mean, Gerald, look at your choices. Do you want ancient sounding name Gerald or ancient sounding name Marsden? Which one do you want to go with? And I think he just stuck with the second one. So
what's funny is that I think Jerry Marsden, is the lead singer of Jerry and the Pacemakers. You know the ferry across the Mersey, and that's what's really funny about that.
Across the Mersey,
and it's Jerry GE, like you'd be short for. Would be short for Gerald.
Yeah.
I think it's short for...
That's crazy.
Gerard.
I didn't know that. He could have been Jerry, I guess, but he chose Marsden, but he was a cool old guy. Yeah. Anyway, saw a bunch of pictures when he was in the Navy. They reiterated how, he was in World War II, and then immediately after, or as soon as the Korean War started, he got drafted into that. Like, guy was just like, he was like Colonel Potter, dude, just World Wars, and then the Korean conflict. Like, super cool dude, all these great stories. And anyway, at one point she says his favorite thing to do in the last 50 years of his life, which is half his life, was to play solitaire for hours and hours. Hmm. She goes, he would play solitaire so long that he became an absolute expert in the art of solitaire. And then she goes, I guess it was kind of like what Fortnite is today.
Oh, I gotta make this relevant to the kids in the audience.
And I went, oh gosh, please, really? It's not even close to what Fortnite is. It's not the same. It's not comparable. It's a false equivalency.
And guess what? Young people are familiar with solitaire. You don't have to. You don't have to explain what solitaire is to the millennials.
Yeah, the kids know. They know what's up. Yeah. But Fortnite is absolutely nothing like solitaire. In fact, it's the opposite of it. You're playing with I guess you're playing in squads and stuff, but it's 100 people. And you're shooting each other with guns. And when you die, you go start again and you fall out of the sky and go pick up some loot and stuff. I just fail to see the comparison. If what you're saying...
Solitaire you can play in real life with a deck of cards. Fortnite in real life would get you 10 to 20 in the slammer. As a minimum.
I guess her two comparisons were it was a thing to do with your downtime. And he was super hooked on it. Those are the comparisons. So anyway, it's fine. That was
kind
fine.
Kind of like Snake is.
We didn't get to stay around for the dinner-y thing, but my brother-in-law, Ken, who was with us, gave me something rad we're going to talk about when Daryl comes on today, because I feel like Daryl's a good place for this, and we don't have Steven today. So we'll watch for that. I would like to know, though, forget about all that. How was Beer Fest? How buzzed did you get? And are you still filled with hops and whey or whatever?
No, I've after 3 20-minute urination sessions, I feel like all the beer is out of me. We lasted the whole 4 hours in the place. Got in there at noon. It was me, Crazy Neighbor Dave, our friend Dan, and my buddy Jason. Probably, we were talking about this, probably one of the people I've known the longest in my life. We met in high school. We didn't go to the same high school, but we were both in high school working at Taco Bell. He got transferred from the East Arvada Taco Bell to the Western Arvada Taco Bell.
Oh, my.
And we just started hanging out. A lot of common interests in 80s music and stuff like that at the time. And we're kind of those people who fall out of communication for months at a time and then hook back up, and it's, go out to dinner or something. It's just like we never stop talking to each other. That's the cool thing. Anyway, so went there. Went to a beer fest, and mm-hmm. The way they've got it set up, so it takes place in the convention center, and you've got long rows of booths there, and each booth is a different brewery from mm-hmm. Around the country. Mm-hmm. Microbrewers, craft brewers, I think, your biggies like Budweiser and Coors have a presence there, but not in the same way. They don't get showcased the way that the craft brewers and the microbrewers do. Mm. And we go along, basically. You just kind of sidestep down the row, mm-hmm. and each brewery has 4 or 5 different of their beers that you can sample. You sample it 1 ounce at a time. You're given a 1 ounce glass that you carry around with you, and they pour it up to the line, sometimes over. You taste that, you're like, oh, that was a good vanilla stout, let me try your IPA, and mm-hmm. they'll take their little water pitcher, pour some water in there, shake it around, dump it in a little bin next to it, pour their IPA in there, you taste that, and you just kind of move along, just right down the line.
Sure.
And for 4 hours, I mean, that's, you're consuming somewhere between, I don't know, if you do it right, 90 to 100 ounces of beer. And it's all different ones. It's not like you're pulling on the same can ounce after ounce. It's like such a weird variety and different alcohol contents and different hoppiness and flavors and stuff like that. But it was a great time. Ran into
You saw people.
Saw a lot of people. So yeah. Ran into Jamie there. She works at Bell's Brewery in outside of Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Oh, nice.
She basically knew that she was going to be there, so wait in line and said hi to her. Mm-hmm. Lance from another brewery, and I think they were there. They weren't pouring. I think they were there just to kind of taste the beers and hang out and have a presence there. Mm-hmm. Went to the bathroom, which is something you do a lot, as you might expect. Mm-hmm. And while we were waiting in the line, the guy behind me goes, "Hey, are you Brian Ibbett?" And this is great because I love looking like a big shot in front of my friends. Right. Oh, I am. Yes. Oh, but yeah, did it, a big fan, blah, blah, blah.
That always feels good, doesn't it? When you're with some old
totally
friends.
It totally does, yes.
Guys and, that remember so when you were just like the meat digger at the freaking Taco Bell, but look at you now.
Right, exactly. Yeah. He's like, wow, he sure came a long way from frying tacos to, anyway. But that was Dan, and that was fun, except waiting in line to use the urinal, maybe not the... It starts out being a lot of fun talking to somebody, and then at some point you realize, oh, we're going to be going to the bathroom together, and we might be at adjoining urinals, and that's where things are just going to get weird. Uh-huh. Do we keep talking? Fortunately, I got in and then went to a urinal. He didn't end up next to me, so that...
It's better than being next to each other in the stalls. That's worse.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Yeah, you're like, so anyway, hold on a second. I'm about to bear down.
Right, exactly. Then all of a sudden you see a tweet about, hey, I'm in the stall next to Coverville and he's taking a big dump.
I love it, though.
And then Michael, who is a local Colorado tadpooler, we met up there as well. They had an area, Jameson Whiskey had an area where they were sponsoring a bunch of brewers who take their old Jameson barrels that they use for making whiskey, and then they make beer in those. Mm. And so the beer has a little bit of a faint whiskey taste to it, which sometimes is good, sometimes it doesn't work so well. But I posted a video of the four of us on Twitter yesterday, a little GIF of they had this Matrix camera thing set up. So it takes all these pictures all at the same time. And it's kind of like that old Gap jump, jive, and whale Brian Setzer ad.
Mm-hmm. You're looking at it right now. They see it says Caskmates, Jameson Caskmates.
That's the one, yeah.
And that you guys are all holding as still as you can. And
exactly. Well, it was one shot. So it's no, we don't have to hold still at all.
Oh, was it like they just took it?
Yeah, it was instant. Like all.
Oh, they all run it together and then they stitch them. I got it. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's Dan over there with the doing the finger guns on the right side. And then my buddy Jason's the one who's kind of looking right at the camera.
Mm-hmm. You know what? And so here's a question.
Sure.
How do they give you this GIF?
You have to go afterwards around to a computer. No line to get the photo taken. But boy, that's where the bottleneck was, is to go around to where you enter in your email account so they can email you the photo.
There's got to be an easier way to do that. Well, I guess if they're looking for your contact info, that's...
Yeah, they want your contact. So, yeah. Of course, it's jameson@brianibbett.com is my email address for all intents and purposes.
I love it. Yeah, that's what you do, is you give them a fake one.
You have to give them an email address you can have access to.
Right, so you get the file. Otherwise, it's not going to come to you.
Exactly. All I right. have the brianibbett.com domain, so with every vendor I deal with, I just do the @brianibbett.com, so I can, you know, excise that mm-hmm. bleeding wound of spam if all of a sudden I'm getting 1,000 emails at bestbuy@brianibbett.com.
Indeed. Well, I recommend it. Well, it sounds like a good time. I'm glad it was fun. Tell me about the Chubby Cattle. That sounds great on its own.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So went to a restaurant Friday night with Tina and friends, and it's a place called Chubby Cattle. It's on Broadway here in Denver, and it's a Mongolian hot pot. But it's, I don't know, it feels like it could be Japanese hot pot, or, I mean, I don't know why Mongolian. I don't know if that's the terminology. But basically, you sit down, you've got a table with holes in it in front of every seat.
Yeah.
And in deep set in that hole is a one of those conduction stove burners, right? Oh, so if you put your hand on, when it's on, you can put your hand on it, won't get burned. Right. But when you put something conductive metal on there, then it starts cooking. And they put this broth in front of you, your choice of like 5 or 6 different broths, and then you get food. And you take the food, you swill it in the water for a second, and you eat it, and then you can drink the broth like it's soup, or you can put stuff, veggies in it.
Sounds so good right now. Oh, my gosh.
It's really, really good.
Yeah.
Off to our right is a constantly rotating conveyor belt in a refrigerated case. So basically, there's a conveyor belt that goes... around the whole center of the restaurant. Think of the restaurant as like some chefs in the middle, kind of like the Cheers bar. Chefs in the middle, tables all around it.
Yeah.
And each table is tangent to this conveyor belt. The conveyor belt itself is in a refrigerated case.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And constantly going around are sprouts and mushrooms and quail eggs, hard-boiled quail eggs, and...
have I ever had a quail egg? I don't know if I have. Are they good? How's a quail egg?
They are good. Oh, you know the best way to get quail eggs?
Squeeze it out of the quail? Suck it out with your lips?
Here's the thing. Oh, God, don't do that. No, here's the... if you like certain kinds of sushi, this is one of my favorite things to do. So you get salmon roe or any kind of roe. Actually, I prefer the smaller roe, like the flying fish roe.
Okay.
So it's the really tiny, tiny eggs.
Yeah.
And then have the chef crack a quail egg, a raw quail egg, on top of that.
Really?
And it's like creamy, spicy, if you got wasabi in there, tangy. It's like 8 different flavors all at once, and it's so good.
Can I go to a store and buy like a tiny carton of little quail eggs in it?
Certain stores you can. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to do it at your regular like Kroger's Market or your Safeway, but you would be able to at... like specialty high-end shops, high-end grocers.
So they come and they come in a little cartony thing with a little. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, usually they're clear plastic, and they probably have six quail eggs.
All right, are they expensive? Yeah. They probably are expensive.
Probably are. Yeah, I bet it's like $8 or $9 just for a six of quail eggs.
Do you think that's because it's rare, or people aren't really into it, or is it because quail eggs quails have a hard time pushing them out, or something? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's not thousands of chicken or quail farms like there are, you know, the chicken farms and things. So,
speaking of which, you hear about all those chickens that died in South Carolina?
The drowned chickens. Yes,
millions of chickens died.
Yes,
thousands, hundreds of thousands of what was the other thing? It was chickens and something else.
I heard about chickens. I didn't hear about something else.
There was some other creature that we eat in mass that also died a whole bunch. It wasn't cows. It was something else. Anyway, I don't remember. But just chicken after chicken after chicken. Just freaking dead, dude. Oh, it's awful. Pigs. That's what it was. Pigs.
Pigs?
It was a bunch of pigs.
Really? Pigs and chickens?
Jeez. Yeah, not fish dead polymers. Not fish can swim.
Fish, hundreds of fish drowned in the floods.
I would think they were already. Oh, not you humanity. Know what they're talking about? They're talking. I know what. I actually shouldn't make fun. There was also a bunch of water came and hit the freeway and then left
and
a bunch
then,
of fish.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
when
a bunch of fish
died. A bunch of fish left on that. Yes, I did hear about that.
Well, no one think of the freeway fish anyway. So the chubby cattle.
Anyway.
Can I ask you this question? If they name it that, does that mean the beef is fatty? They got a lot of fat on the beef.
Yes. So some of the beef that we got, we did a big old combo that had a bunch of vegetables, plates full of vegetables, plates full of seafood, and then plates full of beef. And the beef they brought out was shaved thin, Kobe beef and Wagyu beef, and almost like thin like lunch meat, like when you get salami, thin sliced salami. And you're putting this thing in near boiling water or boiling water if you've adjusted it to that point. So it's on you basically pick it up with your chopsticks, you put it in the water, you take it out of the water and you eat it. It's that quick because it cooks really
so
quick
good.
In there.
Yeah.
And if you leave it in there too long, it becomes rubbery and no fun.
Yeah, that really thinly sliced stuff is so freaking good.
It really is. And it's such a fun, we had a blast. We were laughing our heads off. Crazy Mrs. Crazy Neighbor dropped a shrimp on the floor and we're laughing about, that was like a $4 shrimp. That thing is huge.
Did she find any spiders that she saved? That
she did not. Okay. Yeah. None at this restaurant.
All right. Good. Good. Was, give them positive marks for no stuff. Well, that sounds great. How terribly expensive was it? Was it expensive
it
there?
It was for four of us. I'm sorry, for six of us.
Mm-hmm.
We spent, and this is with drinks, with enough food that we were okay, but we did want to stop somewhere and get some frozen custard on the way home. We each spent about $40. It was about $260 with tip at the end of the night.
Jeez Louises. Yeah, that's it. Well, six of you, it's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, it comes out to about $40. It's like $80 for Tina and I.
That's not too bad. Like, you got to do that once in a while.
That's on the higher end of what I like spending. But
once in a while, though, you got to do that. You got to go. Exactly. You got to have a good time. You got to spend a little cash on a little fun with your significant other. It's all good.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That's what I say.
It must be done.
It must be done. Just like. Whoops. Wait. Why isn't that showing? Just like this must be done. Joining us on the line is the long lost, but now back in our good graces, Brian Dunaway. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
You've been
busy. Hi, Scott and Brian.
Was he out of our good graces for a while?
Well, he's just busy. You know, he's had a lot going on, and, you know, we haven't seen him in a while.
Too much going on.
I agree. Too much.
But that's okay. We're getting back in the groove.
Was your additional work and all the stuff you had to do, was that all because of the hurricane there? Because of Florence? Hold on. Freaking just.
Oh, jeez.
All right, turning that off. Anyway, was it a Florence related deal or what's the deal?
No. But what did happen was a couple of weeks ago, or whenever Florence was here, there was a diversion of resources, and therefore we got behind on everything else and we had to catch up.
I understand. I could see how that would happen, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but all's well, you know, you don't have any dead fish or whatever, right? You guys are good?
I have dead fish, but they're just in the freezer.
Okay. Well, that's great. It is time for us to play Babel Royale, everybody. Babel Royale. That's a game we play with Brian Dunaway. It comes on the show and helps you guys hopefully win some prizes. I mean, I don't know if he helps you win prizes. You may not win anything today. I don't know. But if you want to call us, you can. 801-471-0462. We have our first caller, I believe, coming. Although it is showing up weirdly blank. Oh, there we go. All right, let's give this a wing dinger here. And see
a wing dinger.
Wing dinger.
A good wing dinger. Whatever that does, he mean anything, and it sounds good, doesn't it? Something about a wing dinger.
It sounds like a restaurant where you get, of course, you get buffalo wings, but you might get a side of poppers, potato poppers on the side.
Some wing dingers on the side.
Hey, come join us at Wing Dingers. We have random crap nailed to the wall. Hey.
All right. We have on the line with us who's this?
Jeremy from Kansas City.
Jeremy from Kansas City. Go Chiefs. Or Chefs.
Go Chiefs.
Yeah. Jeremy, it's nice to have you here. We'll play a little game with you. Brian will explain the rules, and we'll go from there. Brian, take it away.
That's right, Jeremy. I'm going to be asking Scott and Brian, or giving them a topic. They're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, if they take too long to come up with an answer, the win is going to go to the other player. Your job is to predict who is going to come out on top based on today's topic. Today, you are playing for a massive prize package, which includes Wasteland 2, Director's Cut, Classic Edition, Oxenfree, Team Fortress 2 badges, Andrew's Munificent Mug, and Is Raphael's Il Monseri Expression, Gary's Mod, War for the Overworld, Toy Odyssey, and we're adding today Guild Wars 2 Heroic Edition, Robocraft Jingle Jam Pack, and the Star Trek Online TOS Enterprise Bridge Officers Pack.
Wow.
Woo! And a basket of wing dingers.
Yeah.
Just for
and
you.
A basket of wing dingers. There's so much stuff that I might actually have to pay postage on email to send it to you. That's how crazy it is.
Holy crap. All right. Well, hopefully he wins all this so you don't have to say those terrible dumb names that are in the middle of that list anymore.
Especially that damn Team Fortress 2 badge.
Yeah, you don't want to say that anymore.
Ili Mons Masinari. Yep. I don't even know what the hell that is. Anyway, the topic today is shows that were part of the must-see TV lineup. I won't say Thursday because who knows, it might not have always been Thursday. That ran with Seinfeld.
With Seinfeld. Oh.
Ran with Seinfeld.
So during the Seinfeld era, which would have been like 91 or
89
2. 89
to 96.
Oh, my Lord. In 98, I thought they ended, didn't they?
89 to 96, what you said?
89 to 96.
I thought they ended in 98.
Shows that ran the same night as Seinfeld.
All right. Hold on.
Oh, so, but not just on NBC. On any
Hold
channel?
On a minute.
No,
right.
Just NBC.
Seinfeld
just,
ended.
Okay. Just the must-see TV.
And I'm not including, so it's only that two-hour block that starts for us in Mountain Time at 7 o'clock, ends at 9. So don't say ER, because ER is not part of this list. So we're talking about the comedies that run in
from
that.
From 8 to 10.
Eight to 10 your time, Brian. 7 to 9 for us. By the way, Seinfeld ended May 14th, 1998. So can we count that time?
Why does this say 96?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. It does say 98.
Oh, all right. Your 8 looks like a 6.
I need to improve my printer. Yes. 97 to 98.
All right. I feel good about this.
Yes. All right.
What do you think there, Jeremy? Who do you want to win?
I'm going to go for you, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, buddy. That's right. Sticking with it. Who would you like to go first?
Terrible choice.
I'll let Mr. Dunaway go first.
All right. I like this.
All right.
I like all this Mr. He's got such nice manners calling us Mr. and everything. That's great. Anyway.
Hey, Mr.
All right, Dunaway.
All right.
Okay, so we're going from 89. Could you repeat the question one more time?
Yes, absolutely. From 1989 to 1998, the shows that ran on NBC alongside Seinfeld in that two-hour block of comedies that was called Must See TV.
And I can't say Seinfeld.
No.
You can, but you'll lose immediately.
Yeah, you'd lose right away. You'd lose.
And, at no time alongside. Did Seinfeld run alongside Seinfeld.
Right.
I'm sorry, and he's predicting, I forgot to write down in here, he's predicting Scott to win?
That I will win, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Usually I write that on the top here.
All right, well, I had a Must See TV, Friends.
Did you say Friends?
You're saying Friends. Okay. Must-see TV Friends.
Adam, yes. Must-see TV Friends.
Yes, absolutely. Friends ran from 1994 past Seinfeld. So
right, but that was the big night. That was the big nights for me. The Friends, and then, you know, Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm. Don't say anymore.
I'm not.
You're about
I'm
to
not.
Give a list. You know, Friends, Seinfeld.
Friends,
that
Seinfeld.
Then
I'd watch a little ER. Scott, say ER.
I'm gonna say that there was a crossover with Cheers. So Cheers.
There was okay. For the first 3 years. Yeah, from 89 to 93, Cheers and Seinfeld were all on the same Thursday night. All part right. of Thursday night lineup.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So good. Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Well, if that is true, then, you know, right on the heels of Cheers, they started right up with Frasier, so he had to be there, right?
He indeed was. Yes, Frasier and Seinfeld ran together, and I'm looking for the years. Here we go. They were on the same night, 93 to 94, and then I think Frasier moved to a different night. I think Frasier moved to Tuesdays.
Yeah, it got to the point where Frasier could carry its own night. So they,
exactly.
Yeah, they moved it.
And fairly quickly, like one season, and Frasier was carrying its own night.
What? Well, dangerous.
Yeah.
I know that this is true for at least some of it, so I'm going to say Mad About You.
Oh, yes.
Mad About You.
That was mine.
From 93 to 95, yes, those shared Thursday nights.
Okay. Brian?
I really should have put this on the sheet a different way to make it a little bit easier. Yeah.
Doing it real fast.
I'm trying to say, well, if Cheers was on there, then you had to have the Cosby Show, right? That had to be during the same time frame, NBC.
His answer is Cosby Show. He's getting Cosby hey, that's Show. A great thing to bring up today because he's getting sentenced today for his sexy stuff he did.
For his sexy stuff.
His sexy stuff. Boy, I don't think Cosby and sexy have been used in the same phrase.
Only when a girl, only when the girl's drunk, then he'll say it. He says it all the time, it turns out.
Would you like to try some sexy time?
For the first 2 years, Cosby led a must-see TV night. So from 89 to 91, your must-see TV would start with Cosby.
Damn it. I'm running out here. This may not be right. Oh, I don't want to lose because I want this stuff to go. I want this huge list to go.
I keep wanting to say stuff from TGIF Friday. I keep wanting to accidentally pull those in. I'm like, no, Urkel.
Yeah, you can't
get back down in the sub recesses of my brain.
You should totally do that so that Jeremy can win.
Yeah, you totally could do it. It's just me. We don't want to do it. All right, I'm going to say Will and Grace, maybe.
Will and Grace, sadly.
Oh,
come on.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. I think Will and Grace was purely on Tuesday nights.
Right.
Frasier.
So that was part of the Frasier
lineup?
Never go
against Brian when it comes to TV.
Oh, no.
All right, well.
Here are the other ones you could.
Wait, can I guess a few?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, if Cosby was there, A Different World had to be there because they did
A Different World
back
was.
To back for
yes.
a while.
What? I could have said A Different World. Damn it.
Said A Different World.
Okay.
And let me see. I think I remember there was a. Did Veronica's Closet. Did it stay on NBC on Thursday nights? Because it that was sure with. That was with. Kirstie Alley from Cheers. Was she in there?
Yeah, the last 2 years that Seinfeld was on, or the last year that Seinfeld was on, it was it shared the night with Veronica's Closet.
What
that
am
was
I thinking of? What am I thinking of? It's I'm thinking of Fat Actress. Remember that show she was on?
Oh yeah, yeah, that was not NBC.
That was a reality show. I think
that was a reality show.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was something.
And then there's two more that are in my mind. Yeah, from that time.
All right.
That tried to make a run at it, and I loved the show, but it did not last long. if my memory serves correctly, it was Caroline in the City.
Caroline in the City, for sure. Yeah, three seasons.
Marty McFly's mom.
Two seasons.
Right.
She was basically, didn't she play the lady who made Kathy or something? She was a cartoonist. Wasn't that the deal?
Right.
I think.
Yeah, she didn't make Kathy. She didn't make Kathy, but she was a illustrator.
She was based on that, though.
Right.
Like, she was like the Kathy lady. Yeah.
Like, Kathy Guy's wife. Right. Yeah. Correct. And.
Oh my gosh, you know
there
more.
There was one that I can't remember. It was about a. Oh, I can't remember the actor's name, but that's all. I think that's about all
that's
I.
That's
really
impressive.
Can
so
remember.
Here's the whole list of what you could have said, and I'll say all the ones, even the ones you said. Cosby Show, Different World, Cheers, Unsolved Mysteries for a while was part of Must See TV.
Okay.
Night Court at the very end of its life was on Wednesday nights, and they were running Seinfeld on Wednesday nights for one season.
Okay.
Mad About You, Wings. Surprised nobody saw Wings.
Oh, Wings. I used to love Wings. I liked Wings.
Frasier, Friends, and then here comes a nice little drought. Mad Men of the People.
What?
Hope and Gloria.
What?
Single Guy. That's what I was thinking about. Yeah. The Single Guy. They kept struggling near the end.
They really did. Yeah.
We can't lose this block.
The second slot and the fourth slot were always like all right, let's bring in this one. Caroline in the City, Boston Common, Suddenly Susan. The Naked Truth.
Oh, yes, Suddenly Susan.
Of course, Just Shoot Me, Union Square, Veronica's Closet, and Fired Up.
And near the end, CBS was kind of raking a load of coals. They had Everybody Loves Raymond and King of Queens. They were kind of
Seinfeld was king, man. They just nobody could compete with that.
And it pretty much held that, the second hour capper. Now, I would have also accepted Third Rock from the Sun, Working in News Radio, because those aired with Seinfeld reruns that they said, let's see if we can make Wednesday night a thing. We're going to put in Seinfeld reruns. And
Third Rock used to come on Monday, right? And so did the other.
News Radio was one of my favorite shows ever made. If News Radio could come back, the fact that they tried to keep it going after Phil Hartman died was dumb.
Yeah.
But
John Lovitz was a good, it was about as good a replacement as you could probably come up with, but Stephen Root, so good.
Yeah, that was the first Stephen Root thing I'd ever seen. I didn't even know he existed till that. And then you had your
Joe Rogan before he got weird.
Yeah, normal Joe Rogan. And then you had what's his name from the Canadian Kids in the Hall thing?
Yeah, Kids in the Hall is I love that guy though.
He's the main dude in that show.
You know what kind of felt like the spiritual successor of that, and that was Spin City with Michael J. Fox. That felt like that was.
Oh, I like Spin City.
Similar.
That was a good show.
Kind of humor.
That's before we knew about that he had the Parkinson's there.
Yeah, right. Dave Foley. That's right.
Dave Foley. That's it. Well, congratulations to nobody because we made so Jeremy lost. Jeremy, play again. Call us back. We'll play you some other time there, buddy. All right. Well, the biggest gift list in the world carries forward. And
I think we're capping it at 9. I don't think I'm adding anything to this. So.
And it's really hard to come up with any strategy because it's been a mix of me and Scott kind of bouncing back and forth a little bit.
Yeah, there's been no like, it's always going to, if it's TV, it's always going to be so-and-so. Right. No, it's like you guys are both on top of it. So well done.
All right. Well done there, Dunaway. You've done it again. Now, as far as I know, that we're doing Boop today, right? You and I?
Oh, we're going to do the Boop.
All right, because I got stuff to say. That's happening today.
We've been gaming constipated. It's time to let it out.
Yeah, we got to let it out. Last week, you couldn't do it because of all the business with Florence and the aftermath for your job. So this week, we're catching up. We're letting you know what's up. And be here, 3:30 Mountain Time, for the Boop Show right here at frogpants.tv. Ryan Dunaway. Kiss our butts, and we'll talk to you later.
A couple people in the chat room want to know why Joe Rogan is weird. Okay, maybe it's not that he's weird, but all of a sudden for a while it was making people eat weird food and then MMA announcing.
Yeah.
And it was just such a departure from sitcoms.
He has a podcast now that's popular. People really like Rogan's podcast. He's just not my flavor of comedian. Just not my thing. Mm-hmm. It's not that... Mm-hmm. I mean, he's great, whatever, he can do whatever.
He's not weird.
No, he's fine. He's been in the news lately because it was his show that Elon Musk was smoking pot on and got in trouble.
That was the one, I saw that, the photo of Elon Musk with the cheese, smoking.
There you go.
All right.
Joe Rogan. And I actually think he looks kind of cool, all bald and squatty. I think he looks cool.
We're also saying that he's not weird so that he doesn't beat us up because it looks like he could.
Oh,
and
he totally could.
And then he'd make us eat goat testicles.
He's a flat earther? Shut up. What?
Oh, well, okay, then I retract my Joe Rogan's not weird statement.
If that's true, TP and Drew, then forget it. Not into it, then. Flat earthers can bite me, dude. Oh, geez. What? Sorry, well, I don't know why that happened.
I don't know.
I don't know what that was about. All right, let's get into this.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
Oh, look, I see the news, and it's brought to us by...
Brought to you by King of the Hill reruns. They make you happy, Bobby.
Bobby, damn it. Luann. You know, I'll tell you what. There's something comforty food about that show, and I've been watching it 100% legally through a friend's Plex server. Because no one else is streaming it.
You know, there's no doth protest too much with the fact that you have to say legally every time you bring it up.
It's one of my great pleasures, the show. I don't know what it is. There's just something about it that just is like my mom's home cooking. I just want to sit and listen to it, watch it, have it on in the background. And it's genuinely funny. And I recommend it if you can find it. So there you go.
My thing like that was Cheers. And watched the whole first 10 seasons and then got to that season 10 ending with Woody and Kelly's marriage.
Oh, right.
Where it's like, oh, the minister died. We got to hide him in the closet. Find somebody else. And yep. We got to get him drunk. And somebody fell on the cake. And that really was a shark jumping beginning of the end moment. Like the whole last season.
I agree.
I basically got 2-3 episodes into the 11th season of Cheers and said, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to get my closure and I'm going to watch the 3-part finale.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it.
Yeah. There are almost every series that is highly regarded has something like that toward the end. They all do.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you what, if you go watch the entirety of Seinfeld, one of the greatest shows ever made ever, perhaps the greatest comedy ever made, sitcom anyway, they have some episodes in that final season. Mm-hmm. And I don't even mean the finale. I actually like the finale.
People just
didn't want it to end. Go watch it again and you'll be fine with it. But there are moments in some of that last season, a couple episodes. There's one where Elaine somehow ends up underneath a bunch of bleachers trying to get out of a traffic jam, and she's under bleachers at a game or something.
Oh, really?
It is really dumb. Like, it's not funny. It's bad. It's super natural in some ways. It's like, guys, bring it back.
I mean, there is like a thing where it's like, all right, well, what are we going to do? And in that last season, they try and make or Woody becomes a city councilman.
Mm-hmm.
Sam decides to go to sexual therapy, mm-hmm. you know, go in for sexual therapy.
What was his deal? Sexual addiction thing or something.
Sexual addiction. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It it's like, okay, this is a little bit too far.
Yeah. I don't know why all these shows do that. It's weird. But they do, and bums me out. You could argue BSG did this. It's not even just comedy. Some shows just... In their final throws, they get weird. Breaking Bad didn't screw up. Somehow, that's the one you want to look at and go, oh, way to go, guys. Like, I'm sure there are plenty of
examples. 4 or 5 years is pretty much what you can say. All right, the writers still are on their game.
Yeah.
And they're not struggling to come up with new things.
Sure. And if somebody can make it to 6, 7, 8 and still pull it off, my hat's off to them because it must be hard. The Walking Dead is totally lame right now. I can't watch the show. I try. I think Fear the Walking Dead's a better show. It's more interesting
I like
to me.
The Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's more interesting to me. The other one's gotten cool and blah, 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 blah. It's the same thing every week.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Used to be, you know what I'm saying. First story here. Pulled this for you, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because I'm a word nerd.
You're a word nerd. And you like the Scrabble. You'll play Scrabble now
like
and again.
Scrabble.
Yeah. When's the last time you played a real game of like board game Scrabble on a table.
Actual on a board, not Words with Friends on the app or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's been 10 years since I've played Scrabble on a board with a little wooden tile, like little wooden tile holder. And
wow.
Yeah.
That surprises
me. Time.
Well, I played it, I don't know, probably 6 months ago or something.
No. Cool.
But I'm not good at it. I've never been good at Scrabble. I'm okay at it, but I'm not great.
The key to people think the key to Scrabble is making long words.
Mm-hmm.
The key to Scrabble is looking at those the places where you've already got words connecting and building in the little armpits and knees of those. Because if you can add a couple tiles and make a new word, then you get points for all the new words that are made by that, like in all the different directions.
Absolutely. So. And I don't think, I forget to think that way while I'm in the thick of it. Or else someone else is thinking of it quicker than I am, is what's happening.
Right, Right.
I'm not great at it. But here's the great thing if you're into that sort of stuff. By the way, chat room, somebody in the chat says, I quit Fear the Walking Dead after the first season. I understand that.
That was a rough first season.
Yeah, they had to establish stuff. It was a little bit weird. It got really good after that.
It's good right now. I mean, the whole thing, Morgan is over there from Walking Dead original flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And Maggie Grace from Lost is on there now. And Jenna Elfman.
Yeah, everyone likes Jenna
Dillahunt, Elfman. Garrett Dillahunt.
Everyone loves Beanfork. Beanfork. Yeah, or no, that's not Beanfork.
That's not Beanfork, no. Garrett Dillahunt is from Raising Hope.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of? It's because in The Road, the movie The Road, he's a bad guy on the road that wants to kidnap the kid and eat him. And he reminds me of Beanfork for some reason in that movie. So I always mix him up. Anyway, he was also a Terminator for a while in the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Oh, was he really? Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a weird. I can't picture him doing that.
Total Terminator in that thing. It was weird. It was right before.
His run in Justified was so good, too.
Oh, right, right. It was right, right. Oh, yeah. He's so good in that.
Yeah.
Garrett Dillahunt is great. Anyway.
Anyway.
Here's the deal. Scrabble has added some stuff to the dictionary. These are the following new, or a couple of them. I'll give you an example. I'll give you some more. Okay. That's the letter O and K is now a acceptable word in the rules of Scrabble. How do you feel about that?
I'm not sure I like that because OK is an acronym. It's an initialism. It stands for Old Kinderhook, and we've turned it into something that means all right. That's OK.
Well, what do you think about the language? But people always say English is a fluid language. You can tweak it and change it and whatever. Right? No. All right. Brian the Purist says no.
I mean, you can, but you shouldn't do it because people can't do things the right way, right? Like the word supposedly getting added to the dictionary, it's basically them saying, well, if you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't choose, you know,
that's like putting nuclear
people on supposedly. So we're just going to have to, just have to kowtow and create that as a word.
You think they ever add nuclear? Wait, that's right. Nuclear.
Nuclear is the correct.
Do you think they ever add nuclear to the thing?
Well, it depends. I mean, how would they spell it?
N-U-C-U-L-E-R. maybe. Joe Rogan. Sorry, quick correction. Bing, bing, bing. Joe Rogan isn't a flat earther. He just interviews people who are. Oh, all right. That's
okay.
Fine. I mean, we've interviewed Tom, and he thinks a Loch Ness monster lives in his toilet, so. We still let him on here.
Bagheera says all languages are made up. Well, sure. I mean, you know, people create words to help communicate their ideas and their thoughts and things like that. But you don't take words that people are mispronouncing or using incorrectly and say, well, we'll just make that correct. We'll just, you know, all of a sudden we'll make that okay.
It does seem weird. If we agree as a society to say, here are the currently acceptable proper words, and then someone goes with an offshoot, and you're like, well, okay, we'll let that one in. It's just a little loosey-goosey. It's weird.
You know, adding the word selfie to the dictionary, it's a dumb word, but it's a word that is used to describe something very specific. Supposedly is a word that supposedly already meant something, and people were just using it wrong.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden adding a new definition for literally because people can't use it right. So saying literally also means excessively or I can't even.
I don't know. I'm torn on this. I get what Brian says rings true to me. What some of you are saying about that's what language is, it always changes. I get that too. But if someone's screwing up, it does feel like we're just giving up to say, fine, nuclear. We'll put that in there. Oh, no, wait, that's, nuclear is the right one. Nuclear is the wrong one.
Nuclear.
So I don't hold with that, bub. But I.
Right. Theron brings up, well, so when is library going to be a word?
Right.
Because people can't pronounce library.
Yeah. See, I don't think, what's the point of anything then? If you're not going to have a standard, then what are we even doing? You got to have some standard, right?
Can't wait for the Webster's Dictionary Vocal Fry Edition, where everywhere it is just written like this.
Oh my gosh, no, please. No.
Lots of vowels at the end.
Well, they've added ew as well. Like, ew, that's gross.
Ew.
EW.
Yeah. All right.
That's in there.
I'm all right with that because ew. Yeah, that's...
Okay, that's all right.
That's a word that we started using to, you know, to it's a, what is that called? It's a, is it onomatopoeia where it's, well, I guess it's not, it's like that would be the noise someone made if they threw up would be an onomatopoeia.
Yeah.
Blork is an onomatopoeia.
Yeah, I don't see blork getting added too soon. How about this one? They've added bizjet. B-I-Z-J-E-T, one word. A small plane used for business. That's what it's. That's literally what it is. That is worth 120 points on an opening play. So if you had those letters on an opening play, 120 point Scrabble play with that word, it is now in the thing. So enjoy that. let's see. There's a couple others in here. And they don't list the rest of my... Why don't they? Come on, AP. What kind of news organization are you? They don't have them all. Well, anyway. So there you have it. New words being added all the time. Okay and ooh. Next time somebody plays Scrabble, let us know when you've tried those. And also, if you got any heat from the people you were playing with, if they were like, no way, that's a word. They can't count that. And then you had to prove it. I want to know how that went. Because how is that even managed? The instructions you get with your target copy of Scrabble doesn't have ooh in it.
No, you have to buy, you actually have either have to buy the separate dictionary or you have to buy the, or you have to get on the Scrabble website, the Scrabble dictionary website and look it up there. But you have to challenge and it costs you points.
Yeah. Are these knots? Are these real? BizSite, BizMail, and BizSuit?
BizKit? How about are we going to add BizKit the way Limp Bizkit spells it?
It should be BizKit and then BizMall. Like for Pepto Bismol, but it's also a business mall. You do that. Yeah, I don't know. The OK one seems fine to me. I don't actually care about that one either.
But the thing is, so Ninja Steve says OK is the original spelling. We changed it to the phonetic OK over time. Correct, but OK was initialism. It was, it stood for Old Kinderhook. It wasn't oak. You know, ok. It was two letters. It was initialism. It's like saying, what's another example?
FBI. Federal Bureau of Investigation?
Yeah, right, exactly. FBI is not a word.
Right.
But it's an initialism.
Right, that's a good point.
Wait, SCUBA is an acronym because you say it as SCUBA. It's an initialism that also works. Laser is another initialism that's an acronym because you say the word laser.
So hold on. Back in the day, if somebody said to me, John, would you like to come in for some lamb? And I would say, Old Kinderhook.
Right, I guess.
I don't get it. That's weird.
It was a presidential slogan. I wish I could remember who it was for, but it was...
Oh, and the F word. Yeah, that's an initialism initially. But now it's used as... Oh, yeah.
For unlawful carnal knowledge.
Yeah, that's the initialism. And so...
I think that's one they came up with afterwards. Like...
is it? I thought it was... I thought golf, that was for...
Like saying golf... Golf originally came about because it stood for gentlemen only, ladies forbidden.
Let's see.
I don't think...
don't look up the word, the F word and origin, because it's just a bunch of people who don't like EA's online game service. All right, hold on. Let's see. On the origin... okay. The origin story of the F word is it comes from when sex was outlawed unless it was permitted explicitly by the king. So people were legally doing it, had fornication under consent of the king. Oh, that's the original one. Fornication under consent of the king, Brian. That's your initialism.
Really?
Yeah, fornication what? Under consent of the king.
Huh.
Let's see.
That's interesting.
And it says anything that ends in carnal knowledge, right now the passage... 15th century is where it's standard of the thing. All right. I can't find anything super definitive here, but... Oh, wow. They found some old
scrolls.
And just
you're right. You know what? It is. It's all correct. It came about before Old Kinderhook when it became Martin Van Buren's campaign slogan. So before that, it was all correct, and it was shortened to initialism, not an acronym, because...
Bill, do you want seconds? All correct.
Exactly.
Are you feeling all correct? Yes.
Oh, good. So Alex found a set of words for mental floss. I love mental floss. Basically, a bunch of words that started out as spelling mistakes, kind of like supposedly. Or supposedly.
Mm. Oh, culprit, expedite?
Like nickname. Interesting. Nickname was started out as eek name.
Yeah.
Somebody mistakenly interpreted it as neek name, N-E-K-E name, and then it became a nickname.
That's fantastic. Dispatch.
Ammunition. Sneeze.
Yeah.
Very cool. This is a great.
Yeah, this is good.
I love this. Thank you, it's Alex. This
ammunition,
is awesome.
Ammunition, syllabus, sneeze,
like
sherry, syllabus, you mentioned. That's amazing.
Yes.
Culprit's
really
pretty
cool.
Good.
Good. This is going to be a fun read over lunch today.
There you go. A good read over lunch is what we like.
A good read. I'm going to have myself a good read while I take a poop.
Here's the thing I'm going to read to you, and then we're going to take a break. Indiana bus driver arrested on suspicion of letting students drive the vehicle. Now, I would like to just put it out there.
Bus driver, Indiana.
I want to put this out there. When I was in junior high, our bus driver let me drive the bus once. Three blocks.
Seriously?
Three blocks, yep.
Oh, man.
I sat in his chair.
With all the kids in there, too?
Oh, yeah.
Had all the kids?
No, we were on our way to school.
Wow.
Full of kids. I asked him. I don't remember what the deal was, but he stood up and just held onto the bar next to me, and he told me what to do and how to do it, and I was driving this big old, you know, wheel, and I drove us like three blocks the rest of the way to school. So I guess he should have been fired or something for that, but I didn't know at the time. I thought that was cool of him to let me do that. And nobody else complained, so I think he got away with something.
That's a felony.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But this guy got arrested. An Indiana bus driver was arrested Friday, accused of allowing three teenagers to drive her bus. Chicago Tribune reported Johanna McAtee, age 27, is arrested by the Porter County Sheriff's Office, charged with a felony of neglect of a dependent after she allegedly let three students, ages 11, 13, and 17, drive her vehicle. I would have been like 12. When I did it.
Wow.
Videos posted on Twitter allegedly show the incident having
gone
viral.
That's so legal.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to create kind of a Kavanaugh deal here where everyone goes and finds this bus driver and gives him crap. Okay, everybody? It was a long time ago. It wasn't even high school. It was junior high.
And that bus driver's name was Jeff Sessions.
Oh, I love that idea that it would be somebody famous now. Dang it.
Right, exactly. Well, that's how this would come out.
Yeah. No, chat room, that's 12, not 5. That's weird. But no one's letting a 5-year-old do anything. But 12, it's not that bad. Anyway, in one video, so a bunch of videos came out. And this is the other thing, is how dumb are you to not know that all the other kids are going to film this with their phones? Of course they are.
Yeah, that wasn't everywhere. A problem when you did this.
No, that's,
like,
that's my point.
Basically, with you doing it was your word against hers if any trouble came about. No, I didn't let him drive the bus. He just decided he was going to make up some story and brag to his friends.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But in 2018, if you do this, you know all those kids have phones. And that's what happened. Every kid that drove, they have a separate video showing it happening. Mm-hmm. So right. I don't know what happens to you for this. I don't know what the, you know, how much jail time or whatever fines or whatever you pay. But
and if... You know, this 11-year-old would have veered it into a parked car on the side that had somebody sitting in it, or somebody crossing the road jaywalking, but they hit him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh my gosh, this could have gone so.
It could have gone real south.
So bad, yeah.
I could have killed a whole busload of kids when I was 12. I didn't know any better. I really didn't know. That's why the adult's supposed to not let you do this, because the kids don't know. They're like, yeah, man, my uncle let me drive his tractor once. Let's go. I held, I don't know, probably 80 kids in the palm of my hand.
The life of 80 kids.
Yeah, think of that.
And one of those kids was Jared Kushner.
I think it says Subway Jared. Maybe should.
And him too in the back seat.
Him as well.
Back.
All of them.
Lots of Jareds. It was a bus full of Jareds.
Sounds like Seinfeld having a bad dream. All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, the Trek Nerd will be here. We're gonna talk about a couple things Trek related and have a fun. Oh, don't click that link I have in there, that Science Mag link. You're not allowed to click it, Brian.
I won't click it
because it's kind of a test.
It's gonna be a quiz.
Yeah, a little bit of a test. So it's not a hard quiz, but it's one that you don't want to see the answer to until you do it. So we'll get to that in a minute, as well as we got a mashup later. We got some good emails, some other cool stuff. So come on back. Before all that, though, a break with a song.
We are going to Australia for an Indian-born but Australian-based musician named Darren Hart, who goes by the name Harts, H-A-R-T-S. Combines funk, jazz, blues, psychedelic rock, and indie electronic into what I think is just an amazing melange of music here. As soon as I listen to this, I bumped a couple other songs to later this week because this is the kind of thing that gets my day going, stuff like this. It's part Prince, part Bruno Mars, part Daft Punk. Anyway, he's getting ready to release his brand new album. Actually, I'm sorry, it came out Friday. It's called, I take that back. The single came out Friday. The new album and national tour are coming soon, so keep an eye out for that. You can find him at heartsmusic.com. Again, that is heartsmusic.com. Here's the song, Shake Your Pants by Harts.
Sweet, here it is. We'll be back in a minute.
A little sense. Words better spent when you're talking to a friend, like the one whose hair falls down to his shoulders, and out the boys chase her like charging soldiers. Cause we all fall short when it comes apart, programmed in our blood right from the start, like the deepest, hardest, biggest cut hole in your heart, and the cheapest kind of bandage trying to cover it up. Before you're free, you're young, intelligent, elegant, intelligent, ain't no stopping you.
It is a long story, one that can wait. He's going to meet one someday soon if we do not hurry.
Get your butt off the cooler, Duke. His honor wants a pudding.
Broadcasting live from Mountain Time, the only time zone that matters.
All right, we're back, everybody.
Yeah.
We are back. Someone in the chat room suggested that it didn't sound like shake your pants, but the S-H-I-T your pants. Sorry, I'm trying to cut down. And now I can't hear it the other way, so thanks.
Can't hear anything else. Yeah, I've kind of... Same here.
That's right. Tuz Alex is correct. By the way, if anyone's wondering whether they're getting these sound clips, this is the troll, one of the trolls in the new expansion for World of Warcraft, and I cannot get enough of him. This is this guy.
Hello, man.
He's just so, hello, man.
No one deserves this fate.
Whatever his name is.
No. It's just some NPC, but I just freaking love him. Like,
don't trust anyone.
Oh, he's so good.
Had a long discussion during raid last night about Dot and Dolly. We, by the way, one-shotted the first three bosses.
Well, good.
In normal. Yeah.
Turns out they're not so. I mean, they're really cool bosses. They're fun mechanics. Like, Mother's really just, fun.
Yeah. But, Mother's such a blast. That fight is such a blast. But,
that last
man,
guy,
the trash is.
Trash is numerous and painful.
It is.
But the last, did you guys get to the Z-Zax or Big Bax or whatever his name is with the little anus face?
We did, let's see, which one did we do? We did the three-headed, the mistake boss.
Right. The one that you hear staying alive when you look at him while he's walking?
Yes.
Yeah. the one that we're stuck on is the guy with, he's just all red with like an anus face. I forgot his name.
Vectus.
We just wipe on him over and over. He's rough.
That was the one that we took one shot at him and said, oh, okay, yeah, we need more time to work on Vectus.
Yeah. Vectus is no easy.
The anus face.
The anus face. Watch out for the anus face, I always say.
Watch out for anus face.
Anus face will get you.
Everybody, have your healing potions ready for anus face.
Take a flask. We're facing anus face.
Good point, Icor. You wipe on anus face? Yeah, you saw that.
Oops. He's correct. Didn't really think about it before we said it. All right, we're going to call Daryl. Daryl is his name. Yeah. Where's his game? Hold on.
D. Skilly.
All the way from the beautiful state of Washington. Seattle there. And we're going to talk to him. And if I can just find him, that'd be great. Here he goes. Okay, let's turn that down for a second. Okay, we got the music. Yeah, we picked up right away. What a guy. What a pal. Daryl, are you there?
I am.
Oh, that's fantastic. I should really play something for Daryl. Let's see here. How about something we haven't heard for a while? Here you go.
Transparent cloth.
I still don't know what that was about.
Don't either.
That was really weird.
Oh, the new phone books arrived. Guess where it goes?
Directly into the recycle bin. What a waste.
Such a cranky old Eeyore, man. Daryl's here. He is the Trek nerd. He comes on Mondays, talks about Star Trek stuff. No Steven today. He's had a meeting or something, so he's not here today, but we have Daryl nonetheless. Daryl, we're going to do two things today. Number one, we're going to talk about the latest in Star Trek, and number two, we're going to find out whether you guys, you and Brian, are robots or not.
Oh, I can't wait to find out.
Okay, so we'll get to that in a second.
I wouldn't know, right? It's like, Rachel from Blade Runner didn't know that she was fake.
Most people don't. Most robots don't know they're robots. Even the ones that are obvious to me it's a robot, it doesn't know it is. So we're going to test you guys.
I've looked for panels all over myself, pushed all over the place. Nothing ever opens, but you never know.
Yeah, well... careful when you do that. All right, here's your stuff for today. The shorts we've been hearing about, the Star Trek shorts, they begin October 4th, and it's on CBS All Access. Why is it not on YouTube or somewhere where they want to drive people to CBS All Access?
Money.
How short are shorts? Define shorts for me.
How short are those shorts? By the way, I bet Daryl's wearing some Star Trek shorts right now.
Probably. Always, right?
Well, yes, except for not at work.
No. Okay. It's like Worf underoos.
Under your
under the
dockers.
Yeah, under your casual dockers. So what do you, what is short? What does that mean in their context? How short
That's
are these?
That's about 15 minutes or so.
Okay, so I will get a an hour's worth of content. But they're not happening all at once, right? Gotta wait.
Nope.
Okay.
Yep, once a month starting October 4th.
Once a month?
Once a month.
Yeah.
Okay. $7.99 for 15 minutes of content every month seems like a great deal to me.
Hey, you still not sold? The guy from The Office is in it. What do you think about that? He plays Harry Mudsy. Yeah, I'm not. Well, no, I'm not paying that money a month for one thing a month. No.
No, yeah. I'll wait till all four of them up. I'll pay $7.99 for that month.
Yeah, yeah. That's
I wouldn't do it either, but I have to tell everybody about these, so I have to watch them.
That's fine. Yeah. So is it like we wait 4 months? That's what Brian and I'll do. We wait 4 months. They're all up. We pay $8 for that month. We cancel again until the show's back, and we're good.
Well, I don't. Yeah. You won't have to because that's when it comes back.
Oh, it will lead up to that? Okay.
So that's
yeah.
Gotcha.
All right.
Oh, yes. October, November, January, or December, January. Gotcha.
This one is called one of them's called Runaway, about unknown aliens. Second one is Calypso, about Tilly. We like Tilly. She's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She has an obnoxious mole, but that's not her fault. The Brightest Star is about Saru. And is it Saru or Saru? I forget how they
say it.
Saru.
Saru. Yeah.
The Escape Artist, which is a Harry Mudd deal. Mm-hmm. Is that the final? That's the final of the four? Is this the order?
As far as I know, that's the order, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I'm glad they're making stuff. I just think it's weird to paywall little things like this that are only out once a month. That's
they've
odd.
Just got to figure out a way to get more content on there. They, I mean, I understand you can't wait until you've got several series, several Star Trek series in play, or several series that appeal to the same kind of people all at once. You kind of had to say, let's get Discovery out there, see if this works, and then if it does, then we can add. All these other shows to kind of fill in the gaps where Discovery isn't on, so people keep their memberships.
Sure, I get why. I get they need to do something more than just. This is not enough of a carrot, I'm afraid.
But they're working on a big garden of carrots because there's going to be a Star Trek on all the time.
Yeah,
is what they want.
Yeah, they want some form of Star Trek, 24 hours a day. I have a feeling that,
at least every month.
Oh, that's all? Right. Oh, I want it all day. That's what I want. And so I thought, I figured that at some point, don't they get to pull back? Who has the rights to like TNG and all that? Are they going to pull that all out of Netflix and keep it themselves, or we don't know?
I doubt that they will hide that.
I also don't think they own it. I'm not sure, but I don't think
they CBS owns that.
CBS owns all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, that makes me nervous. I don't want to have that not on Netflix. It'd be nice if that stayed.
Yeah, I think it'll stay.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
That would make too many people mad.
Also, looks like in October, the 19th to the 21st, this is this year, you can visit the Star Trek Continues Studios for free. Where is that?
That is in the most southeastern corner of Georgia.
Oh, I haven't even heard of it. What do they do there?
No, you've heard of Star Trek Continues with... what's her name? And what's his name?
Oh, you've nailed it. You've really cleared it up.
Yes,
for
those
me.
Two, of course.
Yeah, you've really cleared it up. Who? What are we?
The Red Shirt Diaries people.
Wait, I'm being stupid.
Ashley Victoria Robinson?
No,
that's not
no.
They're in California.
Here, edit this whole chunk out. I'm being stupid.
Yeah, don't worry. I edit this show all the time.
No one will ever hear what just transpired.
Yeah, I can't wait to edit later. Anyway, go ahead.
I don't know why I said that.
So Star Trek Continues is like a fan-based creation, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh.
I can never say his name.
Mendoza?
Mignogna or something.
Okay.
Mignogna.
Mignogna? That's not a real name. I'll give him $75. Go change
Chris Doohan. Who is James Doohan's son, plays Scotty on there.
How old is Chris Doohan? Just curious.
Oh, he must be...
Not that it matters.
Our ages, I guess.
Let's see. Chris Doohan, age. He's older, yeah. 59 years old, almost 60.
Oh,
he looks a lot like... he looks like his dad.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, that's cool. And he plays Scotty in this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very nice.
It's funny. He looks like his dad, but he also looks like Simon Pegg.
Yeah, a little Simon Pegg. Maybe a little Chekhov as well.
Yeah,
he was also in one of the JJ movies.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
What did he play?
He was a transporter assistant.
Oh, well, that's low.
So he was just in the background.
That's low on the totem pole, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's all right. Whatever. You're in the shadow of your father. Does he do a good Scottish accent?
Oh, yeah. He sounds just like the actual Scotty.
All right, great. Well, I like Chris Doohan. Well done. Doohan. Doohan is his real name. All right, so that's a lot of stuff you can check out. Stage9studios.com/visit if you want to go do the free visit of the Star Trek Continues studios for free. And if you're in the Atlanta area. All right, are you ready?
Think I know why I said that stupid thing.
Why?
Because they used that set for one of their episodes.
Oh. Oh, so so Ashley... Or they went out there.
Yeah,
okay.
They
all right.
Went to that studio and did some stuff there. Well, at least I think it was that one.
By the way, make sure to check out Science, the new comic book on Kickstarter from Jason Inman and Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Oh, yeah. Good plug. That's good. I like that. All right. Science Magazine ran a article titled, "Want to convince someone that you're human? This one word could do the trick." So I'm going to give you a little background, but then we're going to ask you guys what you think that word would be to determine your humanity versus your possible synthetic self, okay? So here's how it goes. Suppose you and a humanoid robot stood before a judge who planned to kill the non-human. What would you say to prove that you're the real deal, that you're the human? Researchers asked 1,000 online participants to imagine that scenario. Volunteers came up with words like love, mercy, banana... Okay, thinking the machine would just have little use for that kind of verbiage. Mm-hmm. The scientists then paired the most popular words together and asked 2,000 online participants to guess which of the two came from a human and which came from a robot, even though they both came from humans. Anyway, what I want you guys to do is try to figure out what you think the most winningest word is that you could say that the judge would go, he's human, that's the robot, and it kills the robot, not you.
But they're not just saying the word, they're describing what that is, right? Like they're giving a definition for that word.
No, nope,
so
but all it has to be is the use of the word. That's it.
Hmm.
Use of that word. What would you say, according to this? And again, you know, this is a 2,000 people online.
Love is such a great, you know, it's like, it seems
it's
like
too
the obvious
short, though. You need a few syllables so it can be figured out.
Oh, interesting. You think it's a syllable thing. All right. Continue on your thinking process. Okay. Let's see where you guys are going. I want to know which one of you is human or if either of you are robots, because I've got my theories.
I would say just first thing I'm coming up with, because there's got to be something emotion-based, because a robot won't be able to you know, understand what emotion is. Belonging. So something that a human kind of needs. It needs to feel like part of a society, a community. It needs to have belonging, whereas a robot wouldn't care. It's utilitarian. It needs to serve a purpose.
Okay, interesting. So belonging. Is that the word?
Belonging. That would be my word. That would be the first word that comes
to mind.
All right,
Brian says belonging. Daryl, give me your shot.
I'm trying to think of a word that I know, but I don't know it because it's so dumb I never use it. What's that word, extensional something, resumerism or whatever it is?
Existentialism? Existentialism?
No, it's more than that. It's some big, long thing.
Oh.
Oh, it's like, right, I know what you're talking about. It's like when,
is it
when you're talking
ism?
In high school about one of the longest words out there. That's not a fake one like supercalifragilistic. Yeah.
It's a real word?
It's a real word.
Okay.
It has existentialism in it somewhere.
How about that? How about sneezing? Because robots don't sneeze.
They shouldn't need to.
Yeah.
Although.
But then that's not a word. Unless it's in the dictionary.
I have Daryl. I have
Daryl. Your other words.
I have Daryl brain right now because in my head I went, no, I saw ET sneeze. ET's not
that's
a robot.
An anti-establishmentarianism. That's the word.
That's the one.
You think that's the one? All right.
Yeah.
Let me read on.
Robot would just say anti-establishmentarianism.
Yeah, but it would be all robotic sounding.
All right.
And have some Skypiness in it.
Oh, yeah, of course. All right, well, I'll take your two words. Let's put them into the machine here and see what it poops out. Oh, we found it's a different word than either of you had. Here's what it is.
Okay.
The winningest word had, surprisingly, nothing to do with human emotion, but rather a different ability altogether. The word is poop. P-O-O-P.
Of course it is.
The team.
And now we know why that we're talking about this.
Well, I mean, it came from my brother-in-law, but it says, the team, which reports its findings next month in the Journal of Experimental Social Psychology, suspects that profanities in general, in other words that evoke emotions rather than describe them, such as moist, might also do well. So words that create an emotional response are more likely to be the words that would differentiate you from a synthetic being.
What emotional? I guess just chuckle like we just did. The emotional response of the word poop.
Yeah, it did.
Does not come poop.
It does.
I am not programmed to poop.
Oh my gosh. Here it says later, it says the test has a no near-term applications in computer security, but it could help researchers explore stereotypes about groups of people. For example, what word would you say to convince someone that you're a woman? If you couldn't do any other way of convincing, like you couldn't show them your unit or whatever, like
a lack of unit.
Right, you're right. Whatever you're going to do, but if you just had to use a word to do it, how would you do that? And that's interesting science. Like,
yeah, here's what I would do. I'd go, men,
yeah, because they all hate men, right? That's the stereotype, they all hate men.
Yeah. But only a woman can say it and actually mean it like that. Men,
yeah. I had somebody email me over the weekend, and I don't know why they were coming at me, because I haven't said anything on my Twitter account or anything at all about this Kavanaugh stuff, but they came to me saying, it's just what guys do. Don't tell me you didn't do something like this when you were in high school.
Oh, I saw that. That was so dumb.
And I went, what are you talking about? I didn't do anything close to that in high school. Like, I don't understand people. People are weird.
Yeah.
He didn't do it. Okay. Okay. Well, maybe he did, but he did. But everyone does it. No, you don't get to go there.
You did it too.
Yeah. You don't get to go there. I gave that guy the benefit of the doubt.
You've had conversations with Billy Bush about where to grab women, haven't you?
Yeah.
Come on, haven't we all had conversations?
We've
with
all
Billy
done that
Bush
in a motorhome, just talking in a motorhome.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's just talk. All right, Daryl, well done. Sounds like you're running from somebody. Are you running from somebody? What are you doing? You getting away from a meeting? Are there people meeting? Is that what's going on?
No, always.
Somebody back there going, okay, this top secret thing nobody can talk about, okay? Look, we're going to send a spaceman to the moon. And no
He's
one can know.
From the Blade Runner.
Don't tell Daryl. Ga-ga-ga. All right, Daryl's gone. I've hung up on it. We're going to finish out the show with a couple of quick things. Ian from Canada wrote in. He says, Scott, I feel your pain. My lower jaw doesn't take to freezing either. He's talking about the Novocaine and not working very well.
Yep.
Says, as a kid, my dentist would tell me it was a pressure, not pain, while drilling and filling cavities. I found out later in life, the nerve can be routed differently in some people, and it makes it harder to, he keeps saying freeze, but harder to numb. I've been stuffed with so much freezing once.
They call things so, they use such different words in Canada.
Yeah, you Canadians are weird. He says, I got high and started blabbering. Should have seen the look on the dentist's face. I've had a needle under the tongue, not cool. Dentist hits a nerve. Yeah, I've done that too under the tongue. It's real bad. Hurts like hell. Oh, when is your thing, by the way? Is it tomorrow?
One week from today.
Okay. Well, that's perfect, because I'm gone next Monday. It's all good. Hurt like hell and left one side of my tongue numb for almost 6 months. The best freezing, again, was when the dentist drilled through the jawbone to access the nerve and froze it in that way. Best freezing ever. Good luck. Or as he wrote, good lick, and may your dental visit be painless. Ian
drilled through the jawbone to access the nerve and froze it that way.
Yeah. I had somebody do it through the top of my tooth. So they went down through the tooth to do it.
I just want to be knocked unconscious next week. Like, knock me completely unconscious on Monday. Take me to the dentist, plop me in the chair, let them do their deal, and then done.
Yeah. Well, I think that sounds like
There's
what I would
like
do.
There's nothing too. In this email, this description that sounds.
It sounds awful.
Lord.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Everything he said doesn't. I'm not cool.
Great.
With
needle
any,
under
but...
the tongue, and you're numb for almost six months.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, welcome to another episode of TMS.
All right. Well, let's wash that Novocaine out of our mouth with a mashup from Jamie. This is episodes 1563 through 1566. It's called Wrecking Ball. Have a listen.
I
take out the leader of the goats.
And then
I wanted to tip them, but the waiter did not want to accept the tip.
Look at the bokeh on this product.
I'm Lester Holton. Here's today's news.
There you go.
Why do I sound like Walter Cronk?
I don't know, but I trust you more just by you doing that.
No bra. Bra's gone.
It's gone, bra.
Bra's gone, bra.
Oh, there's a bra up there. Probably still smells like a lady.
Yeah, I'm going to go get the lady bra.
No, I think you'd better. Why don't you scale it back a little
Dial
bit?
Dial it back for us, please.
I don't know why people think that Dr. Evil was based on me.
Schmuck. Oh, this name. Samchanfilipania.
Chantapanya. Chantapanya.
All right.
Pardon me, governor. Mind if I abscond with that roadkill?
Yeah. Might I put it in my boot?
Honestly, it's just his penis. It's his wiener. I didn't know what that was.
Guys, I just
you
found out what
me.
Bukkake is. Life-changing.
That was true.
Oh, what's this? Oh, there's a new Diablo mod. Oh, let me go check this out. Oh, whoa!
Yeah, I collapse.
What are those people doing around that woman?
So
he's in Boston. Stays wicked.
Oh, stays wicked.
Stays a wicked pisser.
Look at me. I got a wooden leg and a parrot on my shoulder. I'm a pirate. Yarr.
I am not an animal. I am a human being with a cavity.
Yeah, that's to me
Utah,
as well.
This
is the place.
Utah. Come around. Utah is the place you found.
Exactly.
Word to every premiere.
Every premiere, see?
Every premiere. Word to solo, you see?
See?
Word to solo.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what, Kyle? The reason why that slut of a vocal artist is naked on a demolition ball is because of one simple fact. All women are whores.
That's totally it. That's totally it. I haven't heard a cliff. That must be an old clip because I haven't heard you.
That's from episode 480. So he gave you a little context. That's the only part of the mashup that he warned me about. He says that was from episode TMS episode 480. So geez, like 1,000 episodes ago.
Yeah, years.
And people were slut shaming her about the Wrecking Ball music video. Someone wrote an email to the show, and then I took over with the response as John Ratzenberger.
That's right. Okay. Context is everything. Something yesterday I was reading that her sister's selling a bottle of her tears for $12,000.
A bottle of Miley's tears?
No,
own tears.
Of her own tears. Her name's like Skylar or Jim Job or something other name. She's a different. She's a sister. But she looks like she's kind of going the same route of like, hey, look at me. I'm half naked. Mm-hmm. And she's selling tears. Or maybe someone in the chat can check, but there's some tears in a bottle and you could buy them for $12,000. So
Cyrus tears.
Cyrus tears, yeah. Skylar Jim Job. I don't remember her name. I forgot her name. It's like a name. It's almost, it's kind of a boyish name though. It's like a name isn't Hammond. I can't remember. So someone tell me, someone clear it up. All right. Hey, there's a new Soundography out with Tom Merritt in it. That's crazy. Tell me about it.
There is. So it's another one in our series of you got to listen to this, where somebody comes on the show, comes on a Soundography, and makes us listen to an album that we didn't know about. That's exactly what happened. And Tom Merritt made us listen to a cover album that I didn't even know existed. Well, I kind of knew one song from it, but didn't know the rest of the album was so good. And so we actually had a great time talking about that. And Scott, you and I are going to be doing that later today as well.
Mm-hmm. We are indeed. I'm looking forward to it.
Noah, by the way, I believe is the Cyrus sister.
Yes, Noah Cyrus. And it was kind of a guy name, biblical name even.
Mm-hmm.
But she, selling her tears. So I don't know what, I understand that, you know, something from somebody could be valuable. It's like, oh, I found Robert De Niro's hair in my soup. I'm going to keep the hair. I get it because it's like, ooh, this one thing from Robert De Niro. Maybe that's an extreme example. But what... I understand the tears, like, oh, it's her tears if she's really popular or something. But what would you then do with those tears? What is, do you just keep them on a shelf? Do you shotgun them one day and you think they're magic? I know. What do you do?
I drink your tears. I drink them up.
You wait till, the DNA rebuild, grow your own Noah Cyrus in a lab.
There you go.
DNA from her tears.
Yeah, and LC Knight, I did notice there's a lot of talk going around that it was some kind of prank, but is it her pulling the prank or somebody else pulling the prank? Either way, I'm calling her Jim Job Cyrus from now on. That's her new name.
Jim Job.
Jim
sure.
Job
Jim
Cyrus. Job. The Adventures of the Tears of Jim Job Cyrus. all right. Don't forget, vote for today's show title. You can do that now by heading over to frogpants.showbot.tv If you're looking to support the show, we'd really encourage it and love you if you did. Patreon.com/TMS is the place to go. That'd be awesome if you did it. If you haven't already, we already love you and you know it. And we're already sending you rad stuff for being there. So thank you for that. Also, if you want to visit us on the web, we're at frogpants.com/TMS. And you'll find links to everything there. Email, Twitter stuff, our Reddit page, all of it available for you now, including, oh, a quick note. I keep mentioning this because people keep asking and they keep not hearing it. We've moved a bunch. All the shows are now on YouTube. Oh, did I forget to restart the recording? I did. I forgot the second half of this one. Damn it.
Oh, shoot.
That's all right. It'll be up in audio form on YouTube, so you'll still kind of get it in a weird way. But anyway, the show comes in two parts now. We cut out all the music because YouTube does not recognize Brian's absolute right to play the songs he plays. Exactly. And they keep hammering me.
The middles are very specific. Those are sent to me by the labels, by the artist, by the labels. And so there's, you know.
It's all approved and good. You make your CPAPs payments. What is it? CPAP? Pap smear? What is it? What's the thing?
CSAC? BMI and ASCAP? CSAC. Those?
That's it. Those. Yeah. He makes those payments
those
every year.
Because those are for covers, by the
way. Yeah, and even then, they won't let us play those either. So I know. It's really that's annoying, right. And even though we're 100% legal about it, they just keep doing it. So they've actually put an upload hold on me for the channel I used to be putting the videos, which is my entire point here. So go to youtube.com/ScottJohnson. You'll find a link at the TMS page. That's where they'll all be from now on. That's where they used to be years ago. Then I put them all over on this Frog Pants site. That's currently not letting me upload videos. So I'm just like, screw it. I'm using one channel. It's the Scott Johnson channel. Boom. So it's where There Will Be Dungeons was already being put. I put art videos and other video game stuff up there. It's just in its own playlist. Go to the TMS playlist over there. You're good. Okay. That's it. I want you to play one of those covers that YouTube doesn't like.
I'm going to do that. And this is a rocking one. This is a loud one. So get ready. Brian Hitchcock wrote in, said, "Hi, Scarecrow and Bane. September. He's going to call me Bane.
September 24th marks the beginning of my 47th revolution around our sun. Your punishment will be severe.
I would like to request a headbanging treat for me to work in celebration. Dragon Force's cover of Death's song Evil Dead would fit the bill perfectly. Thank you for making my workday bearable, and let's test the ship's phasers."
I can do that.
Let's test the ship's phasers.
I can totally do that.
Let's test the ship's phasers.
There you go.
Very good. Now, it's funny because this is a song that the band Death did, inspired by the movie Evil Dead, and Dragon Force is doing a cover of that song. They actually put it on their album Reaching Into Infinity. It's on the special edition, which came out last year, 2017. Here is the song Evil Dead.
Oh.
Rock and roll.
Well, it would help if it was cued properly, because I'm in charge of that, and I didn't do it. Okay, here it is. Thanks, everybody, for being here, and we'll see you tomorrow for a whole new episode of TMS.
is a long story, one that can wait.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's it. That's the show. Thanks for joining us.
Evil Dead.